invited back. Oh, yeah, Dawn has. No, I'd love to have you back, David, sharing again. Yeah, that was excellent. So, for those who are new here, we've been going through the book of Acts. But before we launch into that, tonight is a very special service, and I need your support for this. So I've invited two very special people, two professionally trained, what they call spiritual directors, Christians who guide people, mentor people in their spiritual life. And they're coming tonight to talk on spiritual practices for summer. And we're going to do some stuff together, and then the guys are going to go with the guy who's a spiritual director, the guy that we had with the men's breakfast, Andrew Connolly, and the women are then going to go with Joanne. So this is all tonight, and then we're all coming back together again. Because you know what happens over summer? Can I have some nods? So, spiritual practices for summer. But because I'm bringing these two very special people in, I need your support. So if you could come out to that, that would be fantastic. So that's tonight. I think that's all we need, because we had all the announcements up there before. Who actually puts those pictures together? You, Carol, they were brilliant. I thought they were really great. You don't do mine like that. Stokes. Okay. I, this morning, actually just want to... not give a talk, but I don't know, have a conversation. So, if you've got your Bibles, could we go to Acts? Acts chapter 4. So we've been in Acts all year, and we're up to 4:31. And this morning I just really want to look at two verses. It does sound a bit brief, I know, but because I feel as though, because I'm new here, I need to just develop some understanding around something. And so that's why I say this morning, I just really want to have a conversation. So 4:31 goes like this, chapter 4. Now remember last time I spoke, which was 2 weeks ago, I kind of painted the backdrop to what has occurred here. You know, a person was healed. It created quite a ruckus, quite a riot. And Peter and John, who are the ones that had laid hands on this guy, they didn't heal the guy. That is always Jesus. Peter and John were hauled up in front of a tribunal, a thing called the Sanhedrin. And they were basically nailed, intimidated, even threatened. But these two guys, Peter and John, were let go. They went back, and the first thing they did was they went back to their own people, which I thought was brilliant. And I said last time I spoke here that you guys are really good at that. You're really good at going to each other. May that never stop. And then, secondly, they went to prayer, and they talked to Jesus. Remember, prayer is not something we do, it's someone we talk to. And so they talked to Jesus about the situation. And then what happened next? The house shook. I think that's brilliant. So the house shook. And I said last time I spoke that, you know, that was kind of like a reminder that God is with them. And remember that message a couple of weeks ago, that we all here need reminders of God's continued presence with us. Is that right? All of us. And then we had about, 20 people from our number just get up and give testimony. This was 2 weeks ago, of how a reminder that occurred in their life of when God was there for them. I thought it was brilliant, actually. And then we come to verse 31. And it says here, and after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaking. So that's the house shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when I read that passage, I don't know what you do with that passage, but when I read that phrase, and they were all filled with the Spirit, I went, oh, hold on. But weren't they also filled with the Spirit earlier? So if you come with me to Acts chapter 2, see, if you come with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse, say if we go verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and then suddenly a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind. So sometimes it's house shaking, sometimes it's violent wind. Do you remember I gave a talk on, you know, when you're a Christian, the unexpected can happen, and the secret of being a Christian is to let the unexpected in and embrace it. So you get this violent wind, and it came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And then it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's before. But then if you turn the pages and you come to our text for this morning, it says in verse 31, chapter 4 again, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you get the dilemma? So they were filled and now they're filled again. What do you do with that? Tell the person next to you. Okay, friends, here we go. Let's pray. Now, God, we read in Scripture how the Holy Spirit is like a wind, and it blows where it goes and blows. And you always surprise, and you always act out of the box, and you do something different. And there is a sense in which you do random, but it's done in love and for a good purpose. And I want to just explore a conversation this morning, oh God. I just trust that this conversation is not just between me and these dear people, but it's a conversation that we have with you and with each other and with me. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, guide us, lead us in this conversation in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Do you remember, friends, when I first started here, I didn't want to stand up the front? Do you remember that? I mean, the last thing I wanted to do was to stand on this platform here. See? Because this, for those who are new here, we didn't have these two things here. All we had was this stage and this platform. And the last thing that I wanted to do was stand up here and speak like this. And one of the reasons why I didn't want to do this was because it puts way too much focus on who? Moi. Me. Do you see? And it kind of says that really when we all gather like this, we're nothing but a club. And there are certain people that have upfront roles. And so we can so easily, even in a church, become what is called pastor-centric. Did you get that? And you know what's happening in Baptist churches? Because I've spoken in many in this country. You get a Baptist pastor up on stage like this speaking, and everybody, usually with folded arms, leans back. And then they sort of say, well, come on, you speak and we'll see what you're like. And then at the end of the service, it's almost like the scorecards go up. You know, you either see it in the eyes or what people say, but there are scorecards. You see, so what I thought to kind of get away from that is to move down from the stage and have this kind of lower level platform, which makes it more semicircular. It still doesn't really solve the problem completely. But what I'm trying to get at here is, and I'm going to speak honestly, is I've only been here a couple of years as your pastor or one of your pastors. And you have seen what I can do in these 2 years. And I'd like to say it's not that much. Can I have an amen on that one? It isn't that much, actually. And it ain't that good, actually. Do you know, I finally got to the position very recently to resign. And of course, everyone's looking worried at this point. What I mean by that, just to settle your hearts, is that I, as a pastor, have one of those weird jobs where the secret of being a good pastor is actually to resign. In other words, my prayer now, when I talk to my Jesus, is, well, Jesus, you have seen what I can do, and it isn't that much, and it ain't that good. Now let me see what you can do. Did you get that? So in a sense, in order for me to be effective as a pastor, I have to resign daily. There's not too many jobs like that. Well, you've seen what I can do, Jesus, and it ain't that much. Now show me what you can do. In other words, the deeds that Jesus did in the Gospels while he was here on planet Earth in human flesh are the same deeds he still wants to do today as the resurrected king. There is no difference between what he did, as we read in the Gospels, and what he wants to do today. There's no difference. It begs the question, how does Jesus do the deeds today? The very deeds that he did do. And here there is no difference. How did Jesus do the deeds that he did when he was on planet Earth? How? In dependence upon the Holy Spirit. How does he do the deeds today? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, this morning, friends, we're back to this topic of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What Christian theologians call the Trinity. And of course, I gave a talk on the Trinity at the beginning of this year. And of course, we remember it. I gave this talk on the Trinity, and I said that the Islamic community, and all, this is said in respect. The Islamic community, when we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they find that a mathematical impossibility. The Islamic community say, well, if God is one, he can't be three. If he's three, he can't be one. Now, I will be the first to say this morning that when we talk about the Trinity, I mean, it overloads my circuitry. Does it do that with you? My mental circuitry. In fact, with all due respect to our Father in heaven, I would say that this concept of Trinity, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is an absurdity. And that's why I believe it. Because no human being could have ever invented this. It is so absurd that no human being could have ever invented it. So it's this very absurdity that makes me believe, actually. Do you remember I gave you the working definition of the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In other words, there are three distinct beings, and the being of each is equal to the whole being of God. Could you tell that to the person next to you? There we go. Did you want that again? There are three distinct beings, and the being of each is equal to the whole being of God. That is a wonderful working definition. Then, if you ask me what does this Trinity look like, if you ask what this Trinity looks like, I played a video clip. Can you remember what it was? Now we will watch it. Okay, now for those who are listening to this and weren't able to, because actually I got an email during the week from someone in Australia, and this person said, oh, you know, Mick, I've been listening to your messages, you know. So, because we have podcasts and so on, and, you know, they go around the place. So we've just watched Ballroom Dancing. Now, I think that is the best picture of the Trinity that I've ever seen. Because what is the Trinity? Where one goes, all goes. What one thinks, all thinks. The heartbeat of one is the heartbeat of all. There's just kind of... Did you notice there were three? No, you didn't, did you? How many were dancing? There was two, wasn't there? There was the man and the woman. Who and what was the third thing? The music. And that's the Trinity. There was just this beautiful dance. And you see, what our God does, and this is what he's asking us this morning, is he wants you to join in the dance. He wants you to join in the dance. But how do you join the dance? Where one goes, all goes. What one thinks, all thinks. The heartbeat of one is the heartbeat of all. The direction of one is the direction of all. I mean, how do you join the dance? We come back to our phrase this morning. By being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is when the dance turns into a division. Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong. When it comes to this whole thing around Pentecostalism, when it comes to this thing, a whole thing around the charismatic movement, when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, churches have divided. People have fallen out with each other. There's been a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and a lot of confusion. Instead of it being a dance, it's turned into a disaster. Yes? Do you all know of horror stories? You know, in and around this area of the Spirit, where things have gone terribly, terribly wrong? And there's been blood on the floor. Yeah, I think we all have. So the dance can turn into a disaster. So, when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, invariably there are two camps. Okay? Do you want this? Are you with me? Invariably, there are two camps. The first camp is the spirit in camp. The second camp is the spirit on camp. So I'm going to now explain those two camps. First off, the spirit in camp. These people say this. They say, look, when you discover Jesus and Jesus discovers you, and you begin to get to know each other, and then Jesus says to you, I lay down my life for you. Now I need you to lay down your life for me. And there is this beautiful trading going on. Jesus lays down his life. We lay down our life. This mutual surrender. Now, people who embrace that surrender, they say, Jesus, I want all that you are. And of course, Jesus says, well, then I want all that you are. And people who enter into that trading, they become followers of Jesus. And when that happens, another life, oh, another life comes to live inside their lives. And this other being, this other spirit, this other life now lives inside of them. And this other life grows new things that you could never grow yourself. This other life grows new desires, new habits, new patterns, new thoughts, new rhythms, new destinies, new... This other life grows new things. And so this first camp says, well, when you become a Christian, that's when you get the Holy Spirit and all of the Spirit. Okay? That's the first camp. I'm just pausing. The second camp are those who say, and you may have heard this, the second camp are the ones that say, yes, you get some of the Spirit at conversion, but there's a whole lot more. And that after conversion, you can experience more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. So don't just settle here because there's more. And you know, in most churches you get people belonging to either of these camps. Which one are you used to or have you heard of? Tell the person next to you. What's that? Hey? Okay, here we go. So you have these two camps. I think they're common. Churches have divided over them. I belong in neither. I think both camps have got their weaknesses. So I belong in neither camp exclusively. Let me explain. You know the first camp over here? They say at conversion you receive all of the Spirit. And so you do get people at conversion who receive the Holy Spirit, yes. And then they go, for many, oh, is this it? There's nothing more? Do you mean this is the deal? Do you mean I just got to wait till I die now? I mean, I just got to settle on the spot? I've just hit a plateau? Do you mean honestly to tell me that there's nothing more? So that's why I can't go with that camp. Did you get that? What a terrible place to be in. And then there's this camp over here. The thing I find problematic about this camp is, you know, if you listen to them, it's almost like they say, oh yes, you know, when I became a follower of Jesus, you know, I got some of the Holy Spirit. Fantastic. You know, it's almost like I got a leg. And then, you know, I wanted more. So I went to another meeting and I got an elbow. And then I went to another meeting and it was like I got an eyelid. And then I went to another meeting and I got at this other meeting, you know, I got a foot. And it's like you see these Christians who run furiously, frantically, frenetically from one group meeting church to another, desperately wanting more and more of the Holy Spirit, so that if they finally get more and more, they'll be able to do Christianity on steroids. Do you know what I mean? They have this kind of, and you see them just frenetically just kind of going from one group, person, guru, Christian teacher, church to another, wanting more and more of the Holy Spirit. And this group here often make this other group feel really guilty. So I belong in neither. I think this has a problem and this has a problem. So to finish, what group do I belong in? Well, I want you to imagine that I won MasterChef. Now, Ruby will know that's not too hard to imagine. I do most of the cooking in our household, and I'm getting better and better. So, I want you to imagine that, I was at a barbecue of some dear folk in this church, and they said, oh, what did you have for your meal last night, Mick? And I said, I had, lamb shanks. And then one said, oh, and how did you cook them? And I was able to then, in detail, say I felt really good. So here's my point, though. So just imagine, and some of you don't have to, that I'm a bit of a culinary expert. And so what you decide to do is to hire me. And so I come and live in your house. And you're thinking, horrors. But I come to live in your house as a chef. As a chef. And you know, for a while there, everything is going really, really well. You know, we're all getting on. And oh, you're having food like you've never had it before. And you're just so enjoying me as chef. And then one day, you come home from work, you drive your car up the driveway, and you notice that there are two walls missing in your house. You notice that there are two walls missing, and you kind of thinking, oh my, you know, what has happened here? So you race to me and you say, you know, what has happened? I mean, what's happened to the walls? Where are they? And then I say to you, well, you took me on as chef, but probably you didn't realize that on the side I do a bit of carpentry. And then with a look of horror on your face, you're thinking, what are we going to do? And you could call the police. You know, you could call the police. But in your anger and in your frustration, you say to me, look, we took you on to be chef, not a carpenter. And that is what we do as Christians with the Holy Spirit. That we want the Holy Spirit as comforter and friend, but not really anything else. Did you get that? Because the Holy Spirit is, yes, a comforter and a friend. Don't get me wrong, but he also loves to come into our house and renovate. And do a bit of deconstruction so as to do a bit of reconstruction. And the Holy Spirit also wants to overwhelm you at times. And fill you with ecstasy and joy like you've never experienced before. And at other times the Holy Spirit does want to set your mouth free to come into an intimate, tender prayer language, a love language, to enable you to pray like you've never prayed before. And at other times, the Holy Spirit wants to fill your heart with vision, passion, and courage, in and around a vision and a destiny. At other times, the Holy Spirit wants to give you a supernatural ability to do something that without that aid of the Holy Spirit, you could never have done it before in your life. And each and every time, the Holy Spirit does something more than simply being comforter and friend, you experience a new baptism and filling in the Spirit. But it's the same Spirit. Did you get that? So I wondered how to finish this morning. Because I'm still getting to know you as a group. And you see, what we could do is that we could take this platform away and we could invite everybody up who would like a fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit. I don't feel to do that. Do you know why? Because what's happening in New Zealand is this. Is that when we used to do this way back in the 1970s and in the 1980s, which I was a part of, when we did used to get people to come up the front, people genuinely came up the front for the Holy Spirit to get more of them. And so things did happen. There were events, experiences. There were. It wasn't just words. But do you know what's happened in the last 20, 30 years? Is that we have separated the presence of the Spirit off from the power of the Spirit, and people come up the front now because they just want the power. It's almost like they just want the magic. They just want to come up and say, God, just zap me. And everything will be all right in my life. And then nothing happens. And why doesn't anything happen? Because the real Holy Spirit, who is a person, is grieved. And the Holy Spirit backs away. Because the Holy Spirit, who is a real distinct being, a person, will not just be treated like a commodity. Are you with me? We are not just talking about a power, we are talking about a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. So my question this morning is this. What are your passions like? What are your appetites like? What do you hunger and thirst for? Do you hunger and thirst for a chef, a renovator, a healer, a gift giver? Your hunger, thirst for more. There were two monks, and these two monks came across a stretch of water. I don't know if you've heard this story or if I've told it. And there was an old monk and a young monk. And the younger monk, when they came across the stretch of water, said, how can I experience more of God? And with that, the older monk, he grabbed the younger monk. And he pushed him under the water. And he put his foot on top of him. He was a big monk with a muffin top. And he put his foot on the younger monk and held him under the water. and started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 12, 13, 14. Lifted his foot off, and the younger monk came screaming out of the water, gasping, panting for air. The older monk grabbed him again, pushed him down, put his foot on top of him. 32, 33, 34, 35, 45, 46, 47. Came up screaming, panting, wanting more air. Grabbed him again, put him down, put his filthy foot on him again. And 61, 62, 63, 63, he came screaming out of the water, panting, gasping. And then the older monk said, when you gasp and pant for more of God, like you are for air, you will experience more. You see, I don't want my Holy Spirit to be just a chef. I want more. I want the Holy Spirit to be like a carpenter that renovates my life. I'm wanting the Holy Spirit to give me new gifts for you. Maybe the gifts that I've currently had right up until now, maybe they're not the right gifts for my serving here. Maybe I need new gifting, new anointing for your sake. So what are your appetites really for? That's the question. Is that right? So do you know what I do to finish? What I do, and I've shared this before, is that 2 or 3 times a week I find a place of silence and solitude, and I nestle in, and then I say to Jesus, the giver of the gift of the Holy Spirit, I say, Jesus, I am going to be a sponge, and I just want to receive more, and I'm prepared for your Spirit to come as a renovator, a carpenter, a gift giver, a whatever. And I'm just going to sit here in quietness and stillness, believing, despite how I feel or experience, that your Holy Spirit is welling up more and more. And when I first began, I did it just for 2 minutes. And then after a number of years, I did it for, you know, the time lengthened. And now, you know, after having done this for decades, I do that 2 or 3 times a week. And I only do it because I've settled what I really want in life. See, I don't want money. I want to join the dance. There's something beautiful about dancing through life. I want to join the dance. So, how about we sing a song together? Okay? Let's do this song. Thanks. Yeah. Could we all stand?